Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. You've heard him before. You know it's going to be good. So stop whatever it is you are doing. Find yourself the quiet corner and listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning. Once again, welcome to Grace Nurture. We certainly appreciate you for tuning in. And it is once again that the God of heaven has blessed our golden moments and the wrinkly threads of our lives to roll on just a little bit further. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew's chapter 5. We're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to close a section in verse number 16, where Jesus is talking about the light. And I want to give three more things that is relevant, relevant to those of us who are kingdom children, who are members of the body of Christ, the type of life that we are supposed to live as kingdom children. Light has one purpose, and that is to shine before men. Light is not seen unless it is placed before men. If there are no people, there are no eyes to see the light. A believer must not seclude him or herself from others. That is not to say that we are to be friends with the world, but at the same time, Jesus says that we must not seclude ourselves from other people who are in darkness. Number two, other lights do not need light. It is the people in darkness who need the light. Believers, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men out in darkness. Believers are not to be secluded in the church, moving only among other lights. Yes, there must be a camaraderieship, there must be a fellowship among believers in the church, but we must not ostracize ourselves within our buildings or in our local congregations, wherever we may be meeting, and exclude ourselves from those on the outside of the ark of safety, the body of Christ, because light is not just to be in the house. The more light that is put out in the darkness, the more the darkness is eliminated. And lastly, but not least, believers are not the only ones who are to glorify God. Jesus just didn't tell kingdom children to let their light so shine that they may, that other men may glorify God, or we must glorify God. But he says, believers, they are to go out and cause those in darkness to glorify God. How so, Brother Jones? Because when kingdom children are the proper light, lights to the world will see that light, and the world will want to become a part of that light. And when they become a part of the light, they themselves will glorify God. So let's please remember that we are not an island to ourselves, but we are to be a light to the world. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 9, he gives certain principles of the process in which to develop into the type of kingdom children that will represent who God is. Verses 10 through 12, Jesus says, there is a price that you have to pay. You're going to have to go through some pain. People are going to lie on you. People are going to persecute you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you. But then once we implement these principles into our lives and be willing to endure the pain and pay the price, there is a certain type of product, a certain type of individual that will be produced from one implementing the principles or the process in verses 3 through 9, and having gone through the pain and paid the price, we become salt. We become light. That, beloved, is what Jesus says kingdom children must live like and look like. Now we're coming to a section where Jesus is going to develop some principles in various aspects of our lives. Verses 17 through 20, Jesus said this: "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ was accused of destroying the law of God. He has always been accused of minimizing God's law. Every generation has its proponents who feel that Jesus emphasized love and de-emphasized the law. Many have felt that the thrust of Jesus is love and forgiveness, all is law and justice. As a result, many have felt less obligated to follow God's law. They have felt freer to live a looser life and to do as they wish. The feeling has been that if they keep the law of God in the back of their mind, they have the Christian liberty to interpret behavior as they see fit within some reason. After all, it is argued, the priesthood and the security of the believer are two of the basic teachings of Scripture. Therefore, the laws, restrictions, and obligations and its demands for obedience are minimized, and what is called love and forgiveness are emphasized. Christ pulls no punches and comes straight to the point. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law," Matthew 5:17. Then again he said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments," Matthew 5:19. Then he said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," Matthew 5:20. Must know that Christ came to fulfill the law. Jesus said he was neither contradicting nor destroying the Old Testament scriptures nor standing against them. He was fulfilling them, completing them, bringing out what was implied. He was showing what the real meaning of the Old Testament scripture is. It's full of meaning. All that God intended the scriptures to say. As God's son, he is the revelation of the truth. He is to reveal the true and complete meaning of the scriptures. And there are several ways in which Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Number one, before Christ, the law described how God wanted man to live. The law was the ideal, told man what he was to do, but Christ fulfilled and completed the law. That is, God gave man more than just mere words to describe how he wanted, how he wants man to live. He gave man the life, the person who perfectly pictures and demonstrates the law before the world, the world's very eyes. Jesus Christ is the picture, the living example, the pattern, the demonstration of life as it is to be lived. He is the perfect picture of God's will, the ideal man, the representative man, the pattern for all men. Listen to John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 8, verse 45, Jesus said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. That globe-trotting Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15, he penned these words, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And that great writer of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus was the ideal man. He was the perfect man. He was the living example, the pattern, the demonstration of life as it was to be lived. He was the pattern for all mankind. Beloved, I trust and pray that we will take the word of God most seriously and our challenge to live a life that will bring glory and honor to God. At this time, we're going to get way for prayer requests.
Thank you so much, Brother Jones, for not letting us down, as I knew you would not. If you have a prayer request, please press the number 1 on your phones at this time. And when the last 4 digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. We ask that you keep your request at 30 seconds or less due to the time restrictions of the call. Thank you. Caller 3964, state your request.
Yes, good morning. This is Sister Pam. Thank you, Brother, for the message this morning. Pray for asking prayer for my family that we will all do those things that are pleasing and acceptable unto God, asking God to guide me in all that I do, asking prayer for Aletha Johnson and her husband, Bobby, asking prayer for my mom and my dad, as well as my children, and pray that I will be that shining light for my coworkers at work. Thank you.
Thank you. 6371, state your request.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Mary, and I'm asking prayer for my niece, Anita Mackey, that you continue to pray for her through her chemo and treatments that she's receiving, and also my niece, also my cousin, Demisha, that you also keep her in prayer as she's going through treatment as well. And continue to pray for the Clark, LeGrand, and the Baker family, and also for myself as far as traveling grace. Thank you.
Thank you. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every family represented on this call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. We'll now have our closing prayer by Brother Roger Jones.
Most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we come to thank you once again for blessing us to come before your throne in the meekest and humblest manner that we know how. We come on behalf of Sister Pam, her family, for Aletha and Bobby Johnson, her mom and dad. We pray that you will look into those individual situations and bless them as you see they stand in need. Help Sister Pam to be the proper example for her coworkers, that she may be a light that shine before men, that they may see her good works and glorify you, Father, which art in heaven. We come on behalf of Sister Mary, her niece, Anita, who is undergoing cancer treatment. Denisha, likewise, my niece, Robin Edwards, who are undergoing cancer treatment. Father, we trust and pray that the treatment will do what it's designed to do. We ask that you will comfort them, that they be under the least pain that's possible. But Father, but whatever they have to go through, we ask that they would have a good support system from family and church family as well, and that the doctors would do the right things and do it for the right reason and give it all that they have for the betterment of their health. Father, we pray for the Clark, the Graham, and the Baker family. We ask that you will continue to watch over them. Continue to bless this program and bless the ministers that are part of this program. And most of all, Father, we close this prayer. We ask that you will continue to bless Brother Bradshaw and Sister Bradshaw and the Grace Nurture, Grace View Church of Christ, Stone Mountain, Georgia. Be with us throughout the remaining of this day. This is our humble petition, and that will be enough. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.